How many are really happy in your Christian life? Say I am if you are. You shouldn't live any other way. Hey, if you can't be happy being a Christian, you can't be happy. Because this is it. And you know what? So if you're a Christian and you're not happy, you're living way beneath your privileges in Christ Jesus. You're living way down on that level you don't need to be at. You need to come on up a little higher. Amen? Amen. Bless the Lord. If you brought your Bible, let's make our confession today. Everybody say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, I'll never be the same. I'm about to receive the indestructible, incorruptible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same, never, 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 in Jesus' name. Amen. Say, take that, devil. Woo, glory. Somebody say, woo. Come on, I want you to be alive and ready to go today. Amen. If Jesus came down right now and raptured you, I think we all probably go, woo, we're going up, aren't we? I'm on my way. Bless the Lord. I used to sing a song years ago, the saints, I'm on my way to Canaan land. And wonderful about being in Canaan land, but our Canaan land is in the sky, amen? And we are on our way. Look with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Lord willing, that's where I'm going to conclude at today. But in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, Scripture tells us, we know, everybody say, I know, that all things work together for good to them that love God. Everybody say, that's me. That's me. To them who are called according to his purpose. Everybody say, that's me. See, if you're reading the Bible and it's not you, then you don't need to read it. Unless you've got somebody listening to you and you make an audio recording and you're selling those or something, you know, whatever you're doing in that particular business or whatever. No, if it's not you, what you reading it for? It is you, amen? That's me. And so, we know all things. We started talking about this several weeks ago, and I entitled the message Christian Optimism. In other words, an optimist is a person that everything he looks at, he sees the best. He sees the good in it. He sees what is right. He expects the best, look for the best. Now, a pessimist, on the other side, just the opposite. Everything is woe is me. Everything is, oh no, this is going to happen to me again. Everything is Murphy's Law, that if anything bad will happen, is going to happen, it will happen, it's going to happen to me, happen today, those kind of things. And they're always expecting the worst in life, expecting those things are not good. But an optimist is one who expects the very best. And so when I thought about that term, I said, you know what? Believers are optimists. People who live by faith, we are optimists. We do expect the best. We do believe in the best. We do know the best is coming our way. And that verse that we've just read in Romans 8, chapter 28, tells us that we know. We know all things work together for our good. Everybody say, I know. Everything works together for my good. If it's happening, it's going to turn out to my good. It really is. I mean, it looks like it. The more you live in faith, I look sometimes for examples of struggles and those kind of things. And I'm not going to tell you I've never been in a struggle in my life. I have, okay? And I'm not going to tell you I've never been down and need to be lifted up. I have. I'm not going to tell you I haven't been in a tight spot and God got me. I haven't. But what I'm going to tell you is this. Those times are few. When you walk and live by faith and you live in the Word of God, it gets tough sometimes to find a bad time that you can testify about. Because God just keeps you up on top of the mountain all the time. I mean, he does. He's a good God. When you're living by the principles that cause things to act correctly in the universe, then they do act correctly around you and it's happening for you all the time. And so, you know, I appreciate the word miracle. I don't use it much because I don't really need miracles. I have what the Scripture calls divine life. You and I have that. We have divine whatever God gives us now and present. If I needed the miracle, I'd want one. I need it. I'd pray for it. And I believe in miracles, but I don't want to live my life waiting for a miracle. If I have to have a miracle, that means something is really bad, wrong, real bad. And so I don't want to get to that place where something's really bad, wrong, real bad. Don't want to be there. Don't want to be there. If I get there, yes, thank God, we'll all believe God for miracles, all right? But other than that, I just want to live the God kind of life. Just keep loving, keep living, keep, you know, being happy, being joyful, being blessed, being prosperous, being healthy, being whole. Just keep living that God kind of life, amen? That's where we need to be. Now, if you're a believer, that's where you need to set your standards. We began talking about that just real briefly. We talked about the first thing you got to do is believe in yourself that what God has done in you, he's done for you, and you're going to live that life. And so you make promises to yourself. I make a promise to myself and keep my mind right. Because my mind's not right, nothing else is going to be right. We talked about that. We make a promise to ourselves, God, we're going to talk health and happiness and prosperity to everybody we meet. If you won't tell it to somebody else, you're not believing it yourself. And so we talked about that. Then we make a promise to ourselves. Number three that I mentioned was this. I'm going to make all my friends feel like there's something important and valuable inside of them. Everybody I want to be around, I want, when I leave them, I want them smiling when I leave. I want them happy when I leave. I want them joyful. I don't want them in tears and crying, upset when I go away. If you encounter me and I encounter you, or you encounter our presence wherever we're at in this world, I want people to be glad that you're around. I don't want, you know, what happens, and me and Tommy's in New Orleans this week. We fun a lot, and those kind of things. And Tommy, I'll see him talking out somewhere, and I walk up, and he'll look at me, and I say, oh, you stopped talking because I came up, didn't you? You must have been talking about me, wasn't you? Huh? You know, all this. But no, we're just kidding and going on with each other. But, you know, I want people to be happy when they leave me. And I want to make them happy. I want to be my part to do that. And I can't do that if I'm not happy myself. And so I need to be happy myself, let it rub off on other people. Amen? It's fun to be in the business of causing joy and happiness in other people's life. Everybody say amen. No better life can you live other than that. A fourth thing. I promise myself to look on the sunny side of everything. Just, I mean, you know, whatever's happening, it's just going to be good. It is going to be good. If you drop the egg in the pan and it breaks, well, I was going to have scrambled eggs anyway. Everybody say amen. Look on the sunny side of everything. Number five, I promise myself to think only the best, work only for the best, and expect the best. What I work to do, what I believe for, what I expect, all those things are going to be the best. I'm going to stay at the top level, at the top notch of all things. You need to meditate on the best. A lot of folks, you don't. Listen to this. The Lord just gave me this just last night. You don't get the best by concentrating on the worst. Now, anybody knows me knows this is true. I love doctors. I love nurses. I love the medical profession. I love anybody that when somebody's hurt or sick, they're trying to make them well and trying to make them better. I do. I'm all for anybody that are dedicated and give their life to helping other people be free from pain and be alleviated from the symptoms of the problems of this life. But you know what? Concentrating on sickness and disease doesn't cure it. We got more sickness and diseases now than we ever had. Right? A focus on that doesn't bring health. But a focus on health does. When you focus on life, it does bring health to your body and all of your flesh. Focusing in a marriage, if you want to focus on what to destroy your marriage and kill it and destroy it, you focus on that, it'll destroy and kill your marriage. Now, if you're always looking at what I got to get rid of, old lady don't like this. First of all, the old lady ain't no old lady. If she is, you got a big problem. Everybody say amen. The old lady don't like this. I guess I better straighten up. If you focus on what your wife doesn't like and that you better straighten up, you got a problem. You need to focus on what she does like and how you can bring more of what she likes into her life. Amen? I mean, you know, just keep bringing the blessing. Keep bringing the blessing into her life. My wife and I, several years ago, we'd always done things. You know, I have full-time job work all the time, and she has, you know, been a homemaker and other things, and lately she's done other stuff, that kind of stuff too in her business and all. But used to, I'd say, well, you know, she'd go get groceries. That's part of her job, what she does, and she'd bring in the groceries. So several years ago, I started bringing in the groceries for her. And we would share. You know, we'd take a couple trips bringing in the groceries. Then, I said, well, how can I do better than that? I said, I know what I'll do. She won't have to bring in groceries at all. I'll bring them all in. I said, you just go in the house, and I'll bring them in. And she smiled, said, yeah, thank you. Then I said, well, how can I do better than that? I said, when I get inside and I'll put them on the bar, I'll take them out of the bags and leave everything up there. She said, okay, thank you. I said, well, then what can I? I said, I know what I can do. I can take the canned goods, those kind of things that belong in the pantry. I'll take those there, and I'll leave everything else out here, fruits here, and I'll separate all for her. She said, thank you very much. And I began to do that. I was focusing on that. Then I said, you know, that milk, a gallon of milk is pretty heavy for a lady to lift. I said, I'll put in a gallon. I said, don't ever touch a gallon of milk again. I'll put that on the inside for you. And those kind of things like that. And virtually, I'm doing all the work around the house now. Y'all pray for me. But how did I do that? I'm focusing on the blessing. Focusing on the treating my wife like a princess, treating her like she is on top of the world, and she is. That's my focus. That's what I want to do in life. All men say amen. Women say oh, amen. Women say help him, Lord, help him, Lord. But you know, you want to minister to other people. Think and expect the best, okay? Sixth thing, be enthusiastic about other people when they make it. Celebrate their accomplishments. Get happy about somebody else's success in life. Be part of making them successful. That's what's great. Seventh thing, forget mistakes of the past, press toward the future. Quit bringing up the bad stuff that you failed at.
Well, I failed.
Well, we all have. Is there anybody that hasn't failed? We'll have an altar call for liars here just a moment if there hasn't. I love you. But all of us have. You don't have to live very long until you make some mistakes in life. Some of them are unintentional. You didn't mean to do it. Some of them are intentional. You meant to do it. We know you did. We know I did. And so what we're going to do is forget those things, press toward the future. We talked about that. We talked about smiling at everybody that you meet. We talked about that. We talked about not worrying, not being angered, not being in trouble. We talked about that. We talked about the fact of thinking well of ourselves and proclaiming that fact to the world. We talked about that last week. Now then, this morning, I want to turn with me to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Here's the last thing I want to mention to you. The last thing I'm going to mention. It might take me 4 weeks to mention it, but this is the last thing that I'm going to mention to you. Romans 1, verse 16. You need to make a promise to yourself to live in the faith that the Lord is on your side. Now, I know it's a simplistic statement, but a lot of people, they don't live in faith, and a lot of people don't believe the Lord's on their side. Some people think the Lord is out to kill them. And in fact, a lot of people, as that horrible word that we hear, if you hear it throughout our nation and our country, a lot of people think God's in the business of damning them. Because they'll tell us. Anytime something goes wrong, they will mention that word. Horrible word. Taking the Lord's name in vain. And that's their thoughts. Well, some of us as Christians, you maybe you've moved away from that word, and you better have. You absolutely better have. But still in your heart and your mind, sometimes you still don't have the full conception or the belief that God's on your side. He really is wanting you to succeed. He really is not wanting you to fail. He really is hoping for the very best in your life and doing all that he can to make it happen. God's on your side. Everybody say, God's on my side. Everybody say, God's on my side. Say, devil, don't mess with me. God's on my side. God's on my side. Better not. Better think twice. God's on my side. He's on my side. Now, before I get to that point of it, I mentioned this first part of I'm making a promise myself to live in faith that the Lord's on my side. Well, I've got to live in faith first. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the Bible says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. Oh, if you haven't got anything underlined your Bible, that ought to be what it is. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It. Everybody say it. It what? The gospel of Christ. Everybody say it. It what? The gospel of Christ. It is the power of God. When you learn that the gospel of Christ is the power of God, you won't be whining all over the neighborhood, crying everywhere, trying to get somebody to do something for you. You realize you got the power of God right here in this book. It's the power of God. The gospel of Christ, it is the power of God. Some people, you know, whine and cry, get all upset and moan and groan, fast 140 days and all this kind of stuff, trying to get the power of God. You've already got the power of God. The gospel is the power of God. See, now, if it takes you 140 days for you to believe that, then that's between you and the fast and God and all, and that's wonderful. If you need to fast yourself away. But you know what? When you get right down to it, it's believing that the gospel is the power of God. This book is the power of God, and God's life is invested in it. Now, it says here, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. Salvation in every area of your life. Spiritual salvation, physical salvation, financial salvation, marital salvation. It is the power of God to salvation to everyone. Everybody say, that's me. See, there you are again. To everyone that believes. Now, there's an exception to the everyone. It's not to everyone that is a doubter, the everyone that's an unbeliever, the everyone that doesn't know Christ, the everyone that, you know, living their lives for the devil. It's everyone that believes. Now say, that's me. That's still me. Everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. The gospel was first preached to the Jews. There was a rejection of the gospel. Now the gospel has come to all the world, and everybody can receive the things of God, including the Jew that accepts Christ Jesus. Verse 17, therein the gospel, therein the power of God, therein is the righteousness of God revealed. There's a revelation of the righteousness of God in the Word of God. From faith to faith. Now see that? From faith to faith. The Bible teaches us that every man's been given a measure of faith. But you can move from one level of faith to another level of faith. You can go from faith to faith. Walking with just that tiniest bit of faith and begin to see that multiplied and developed in your life until the faith begins to grow. You go from faith to faith. As it is written, the just. One more time, say, that's me. The just shall live by faith. Our life is a life of faith. Brother Anthony taught us on this several weeks ago. Went to three other places in the scripture where it talks about the same thing. The just shall live by faith. If I am the just, then I shall live by faith. If you are the just, then you shall live by faith. And so this is the way we live. We don't live any other way. We live by faith. Now let me simplify it a little bit. What does it mean to live by faith? Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 4, when the devil had attacked him and come against him after a 40-day fast. The devil came against him, and the devil told him to make bread out of these stones. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. What does man live by? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The just shall live by faith. Jesus said, we live by every word which proceeds out of the mouth of God. The just shall live by faith. So then the just shall live by every word which proceeds out of the mouth of God. Thus, the just are living by faith. See, living by faith is when you live according to God's word instead of yours. Living by faith is when you get the butt out of your life. Go wrong with that now. But get the butts out of your life. Yeah, but. I know that, but you don't know how bad the economy is. Oh, Lord, you haven't seen how bad it is out there. Yeah, but. Everybody say, get rid of the butts. Amen. You got to get rid of all those things in your life that every time you offer an exception to the Word of God, that's living by faith, is when you get rid of those exceptions. See, the person that lives by faith is the person that lives by the Word. It's inseparable. You can't say, well, I'm living by faith, but I don't always keep the Word. Then you're not living by faith. See, the person that faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. There's that connection. It's inseparable. You can't separate one from the other. You can't say you're living by faith if you're not living by the Word. And you can't say that you're living and acting on the Word if you're not living by faith. They both come together. It is a package deal. Now, another place in Scripture, look with me to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. When you live by the Word, or when you live by faith, the just shall live by faith. Everybody say, that's me. Just shall live by faith. Jesus said we live by every word which proceeds out of the mouth of the Father. In Luke 22, verse 42. Now, living by the Word regardless of what you want. We live by the Word of God regardless of what we want. Luke 22, verse 42. You remember when Jesus was headed to the cross to purchase our salvation through his death on the cross. When he was headed to the cross, he was going through a battle in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he prayed his way through to victory. I believe he always had it. He prayed to show us how to do when we get through those situations as well. And while he was praying there in that garden, he said this, Father, if you be willing, remove this cup from me. In other words, I don't want to go to the cross. I don't want to go to the cross. And God, if there's some other way, let's get to it now in a hurry, because I'm headed to the cross if there's not. But if you be willing, Lord, let's work something else out. Jesus is praying to the Father God. Now then notice what he says. Nevertheless, not my will. What was Jesus' will? Not to go to the cross. That was his will. Nevertheless, not my will, but King James says, thine. What was God's will? For him to go to the cross. Not my will, but thy will be done. Living by faith is living by the Word even when you don't want to. Now, if you get to start living, you know, in faith and all of a sudden something comes up, you don't want to do it, and it's in the Word, then you stopped your act and your life of faith right when you went into disobedience. Living by faith and living by the Word is living that way even when you don't want to do it. There's times in life when, particularly before you get your mind renewed, before your mind you get renewed, you'll do a lot of foolish things. I mean, little old bitty things will keep you from the things of God. Just little something here, a little something there. I mean, you just get into doubt and unbelief and fighting mad and all that kind of stuff and, you know, still carrying around that dollar that you lost last week. But anyway, all little old bitty things. Little old bitty things like that just get in your life and cause you not to be living and walking by faith, not pleasing to God, not living the life like you're supposed to live. You got to come to the place that says, I'm going to live this way whether I want to or not. I'm going to live this way whether I want to or not. When I first got saved, what I wanted to do was two things. I wanted to play music all my life. That's what I wanted to do, number one. And number two, I wanted to be an accountant. In fact, I'd been studying for 2 years at that time to be an accountant. I wanted to be an accountant. I wanted to be around money. And count it. Make little reports of saying what it was doing and how it was acting, how it was growing, and those kind of things. I wanted to do that. That's what I wanted to do. And I wanted to be in music. I wanted to do both of those things. I really did want to do those things. But when I got saved, I told the Lord, I won't do either one of those things. I won't do any of those things. I want to do now what you want me to do. And if you don't want me to do that, then I don't want to do it. Now, one of those he took me out of, which was accounting. I got out of that after 7 years. I left it. And the other one, music, he amplified that in my life, made it greater than it would have been any other way. One he took away. One he magnified and made greater. Now, I've been just as happy and more so than I ever have before I known the Lord and accepted him. But that was my decision at salvation was, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Where you want me to go, I'll go. How you want me to live, I'll live. What you want me to say, I'll say. Doesn't matter what I want. My wants are now going to be your wants. Now, at first, they wasn't at first. But as more I submitted myself to the Lord, as Jesus did here in prayer, the more I did that, the more my wants became his wants. And so now I can say, I don't want to be an accountant anymore. I don't want that anymore. I want now fully what God wants for me now, fully. That we are in sync on those things right there. Now, am I saying I'm perfect around everything? No, I'm not. I mean, there's some other things maybe in my life that if I thought about, maybe I could come up with something that's out there that I've got to work on a little bit. And that's all right. That's understandable. We're all human. But I'm submitting those things to the Lord too. Not my will, but your will be done. The more my mind is renewed to the will of God, the more my will and his will are the same, and the less problems I even have in that area. But now, if there's something come up in your life, you need to submit it. You're not living by faith if you make departures from God's word and want to live your own life your own way. You're not living by faith, and you're not living by the word of God. Let me show you something. You're there in Luke chapter 22, verse 42. Look out over to Luke chapter 5 and then verse 3. In Luke chapter 5, verse 3, there's a story here of Jesus and the disciples and how he's been ministering, and then they're going to do some fishing. Okay? Now, what I want you to see is this. Living by faith, living by the word of God, is regardless of experiences and life circumstances. When you live by faith, when you live by word, the word of God, it has nothing to do. Living by faith, living by the word, has nothing to do with your external circumstances. In other words, we don't live by faith except when we go to work. We don't live by faith except we're in the business community. I heard a man say this many, many years ago. It was a pastor. He was talking about his son who was very, very successful in business. And somebody was criticizing his son to him. And he said, I thought your son, I just heard it, I was standing around. I thought you said your son was a Christian. He said, well, you got to understand something about my son. He is a Christian, but when it comes to business, he's all business. And so don't confuse the two. But religion is like that. Religion won't confuse the two. It lets you do whatever you want to do in business and then claim to be a Christian. Christianity won't let you do that. The life of God won't let that happen. You will have to let your life as a Christian overtake your life as a businessman. And your business will have to bow its knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a difference in that. And so living by faith, we live by faith regardless of our circumstances, regardless of our experiences. Doesn't matter. You say, yeah, but you don't know what happened to me. It don't matter what happened to you. Not trying to be unsympathetic, but it doesn't matter what happened to you. You don't know what they did. It don't matter what they did. You don't know the circumstances I've been born in. It doesn't matter how you've been born in. had a I won't call the name of the denomination because it's a wonderful denomination, but this flaky weirdo pastor argued with me this week.
Yeah, you know what? The Word of God, you say it works in, you know, in the United States, but it don't work over there in Nigeria.
That's what he said.
He said, try to say some of this stuff over there, you say here.
I said, you know what? I haven't been to Nigeria. I've been to some places like that. I got some friends from Nigeria. And I've spoke to some just a couple of weeks ago. When I went to St. Louis, I met two or three of my friends from Nigeria, different places like that I know. And he said, you know, the word you say works here, it don't work over there. Try it over there. I said, you know what? Let me tell you this. If the word will work in Watts Mill, it'll breeze right on through Nigeria. Everybody say amen. I've been there. He didn't know I'd been there. And I told him, I've been there. I'd done that.
Well, yeah, you got a college education.
I said, no, when I got out of school, I had no money to go to college with. I was 38 years old before I went to college. I know this stuff works, mainly because the Word of God says it does. But I do have some experience that has also shown me that it does. But forget my experience to anybody else's. I got it. If you want to hear it, I can give you that testimony, but that don't matter. What matters is what the Word of God says. So the Word of God's got to work for you, and you got to live by it regardless of your experience, regardless of your external circumstances. Now, look what it says here in Luke chapter 5, verse 3. It says, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. Notice Simon had a ship. Had a whole fishing enterprise business, didn't he? And he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. A natural PA system. Don't ever get in a boat and float out and talk secrets to one another in a low voice. We hearing what you're saying on shore because your voice is carrying across the water. Anyway, number four. Now, when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draw. Why is he saying, Simon, go ahead and drop your nets now? Well, I guess he felt like that whatever man sows, that shall also reap, and he gave him his boat, so he ought to give him, you know, pay him for the boat use. How's he going to pay him for the use of the boat? He's going to catch the biggest amount of fish he's ever caught in his life. And Jesus is going to commiserate, give him something for what he's just done for him. Now, the problem is this. Simon's a fisherman, and he fishes in those ponds, in those lakes, if it's the Sea of Galilee or Lake of Genesaret or Sea of Tiberias, it's all the same place. If he's fishing there, he knows the waters. He knows the fish. He knows the season. He knows what he needs. He's a professional fisherman. He's really good. Makes his living at it. And Jesus says, let down your net. Now, the problem is this. Verse 5, Simon answered and said, now, wait a minute, Master, wait. We fished all night long. This is something you don't know, Jesus. We're going to have to inform you. We fished all night long and have caught nothing. Haven't taken any. Everybody say nothing. Absolutely nothing. Nevertheless. There's that word again. Jesus used it at the Garden of Gethsemane, nevertheless. Now, Peter's using it, nevertheless. At thy word, I'll let down the net. Living by faith is living nevertheless. Living by the word of God is living that way regardless. Regardless of what the external circumstances and environment around you tell you is the case. Now, we're not nuts. We're not crazy. We understand he fished all night, didn't catch anything. Understand he's a professional fisherman, knows what he's doing, understand all that. But we just understand that there's a higher law at work here. It's not saying when somebody tells you something that is discouraging to you. I mean, if they give you the word in your life, hey, you don't have long to live. With what's going on in your body, we don't expect to see you around, but just, you know, a few more days, a few more months, maybe you're going to be gone. Well, that may be what they see. That may be what your body told them. Nevertheless, we have a God in heaven who created your body, made your body, and can heal your body in a moment of time, and it's all over. I've been there too. How about you? Nevertheless, nevertheless. You see, living by faith lives nevertheless. I mean, you know, you look at the economy, look at stuff that's going on, look at stuff that's happening financially in the realm, but nevertheless, nevertheless, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed out begging for bread. Amen? At his word. Am I going to sit there and try to call people liars and all this and say they don't know what they're talking about? Oh, no. They know what they're talking about in the natural. They know what they're talking about in the world, but they don't know what they're talking about in the realm of the spiritual world. Because in the spiritual world, we have a God who can do what the natural never could do. Now, look what happens. He says, nevertheless, I'll let down a net. Some of you are right there because you've got God's promise. You've got God's word. You've got his command. And you even say you live by faith and you walk on the word. But then you hit the roadblock, you hit the stumbling place, and you don't say, nevertheless, at thy word, I'll still do it anyway. You hit the stumbling block and you say, well, I guess that's maybe another day. I know what we'll do. We'll call up everybody all over Lawrence County and everybody all over South Carolina and everybody all across America, and I'll be put on everybody's prayer chain that ever had a chain to yank, and, you know, I'll do that, and, I'll cry, and I'll scream, and I'll holler, I'll get my body be burned. All these kind of stuff, you know, we say you can do. It won't matter until you decide to live by faith. It won't matter until you decide just to obey God's word. Nevertheless, everybody say nevertheless. At thy word, I'll let down the net. I'll do it just because you said it. There's no other, get that, there's no other reason to do it. He knows fish. He knows the lake. He's just been fishing there all night. He knows it. But regardless of everything he knows, I'll let down the net. Some of you need to do that. Regardless of everything you know in the natural, you need to trust God, live by faith, and walk on his word. Well, look what happened. Verse 6, well, when this had been done, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their net broke. His net wasn't big enough to catch all the fish that he caught. I love that. Jesse the Planet's preaching the message that God's not too, not enough. He's too much. People have a God that's enough. Well, that's good. And come on up to the enough God anyway. But God's not enough. He's too much. And that's what he was right here. He wasn't enough. He was too much. Broken. Why? At his word. So the word supersedes everything natural. Living by faith supersedes everything doubtful. Walking on the word supersedes any other walk in life. Living on and acting on the word of God supersedes anything else in life. And we need to get to that place that's where we're living. Promise yourself, I'm going to live by faith. I'm not going to be hampered. I'm not going to be hindered by anything else going on in this life. I'm going to live by faith. How many things could I do? I mean, in the natural, when we first started the church I was part of, the denomination, and about a month into it, they called me up and said to me, Lord, we want you to stay in our denomination. I said, well, you know, it's a wonderful denomination. I love you guys. It's just not where I'm supposed to be. And nothing, no madness, anger, anything. I love you guys. I really do. It broke my heart to leave. But they said, here's what we'll do. We're going to give you a piano, because you don't have one now, they said. And we're going to give you 50 chairs, and we're going to give you $300 a month. And we're going to help get you started in this little mission work that I had started. I said, I appreciate all that. I really do. But I got drums, guitar, piano, and organ now, and you won't give me a piano. I got 120 chairs, and you won't give me 50. And we get a whole lot more than $300 a month, get more than that a week. See, they was all in the natural, but God had been blessing supernaturally. If you'll step out, and even though you can't see it, don't know it, don't have the promise of it, and step on the word of God, step out in faith, you'll see God do something in your life. You know, in Scripture, let me just give you a couple of things. Look with me turn with me to Psalm chapter 124, and we'll bring it to a close in that passage, but I want to give you a couple of things in Psalm chapter 124. You need to get to the place to where you recognize God's on your side. You need to believe that. You remember when David fought Goliath? He said this. When he fought Goliath, he came to him and he said, Goliath, you come to me with a sword, a spear, and a shield. All those things will take you out. The sword will cut you through in two. The spear will take away your life. The shield will take away your life. But he said, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. You see, I'm not saying things in the natural are not real. They are. It's just that what you've got is greater than what they've got. What you have is more powerful than what they have. What the devil would attempt to bring against you is not anything like as great as what God has already given you to fight your battles with. I mean, they're, in fact, when we look at the three Hebrew children, what did they do? They came before the king, and the king there had set them up and said, you know, they got sort of shafted into this kind of thing, and they were going to be killed and going to go into the fiery furnace. And they said this to the king. They said, King, for your benefit, for your benefit, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. In other words, if you do get us into that fiery furnace, God will deliver us. We want you to know that. But I like what they said in addition to that. In addition, they said that, but if not, now just for you, King, we know he, in fact, they said it in the passage in the book of Daniel. Say, so we know it, but if not, then be it known to you, O King, we will not worship your God. In other words, we're going to live by faith. We're going to live by the word, regardless of how hot the fire gets. Regardless of how big your furnace is. I mean, some of you need to tell the devil that. The devil has attacked your body, giving you this and giving you that, and you just need to stand up and tell the devil, you know, my God is going to bring healing into my life. I already purchased, I already bought it. It's there. I'm believing that absolutely. But devil, just for your sake, if this sickness were to take me out of this life, I'm still going out praising and worshiping God. I'm not going to serve you. Amen? Need some people to be men and women of God. Live on the word. Live by faith. Financially, you could say the same thing. I mean, you know, I believe God's going to meet all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I believe every dollar, every thousand, every tens of thousands, every hundreds of thousands, every million is going to be there when I need it to be there. But just in case, devil, that you've got a doubt, even if it's not, I'm still not going to serve you. I mean, you know, let God do something for you. Everybody go from faith to faith, amen? We live from faith to faith. God adjusted my prayer life many years ago. I used to pray. I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm just believing you, Lord. I said this. I said tens of thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars. I said, Lord, I'm believing you for $1 million. And one time the Lord talked to me and while I was praying. He said, let me ask you something. What's that? He said, how much is a church worth now? I said, $2.2 million. He said, why are you still believing for $1 million now? You done got twice that much. Not me, but the church. Because I'm praying for the church. It's all the churches. None of it's mine. He said, you got twice that much now. Why are you still praying $1 million level? I said, I'm going to take it on up. Everybody say $5 million. Psalm chapter 124. God's on your side, amen? Psalm 124, verse 1. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now Israel would say. Now, in other words, God is on your side. Everybody say, he's on my side. That's the faith I'm living in. God's on my side. If it had not been, verse 2, the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, they'd have swallowed us quick. I would never stand here and tell you that in my own strength, in my own life, I can do much of anything. I really wouldn't, because I can't. I know I can't. I've experienced that. I mean, if I have to depend on my natural ability, natural talents, natural work, natural physical, whatever I have, whatever talents, abilities I have, it don't take me as far as I need to go. I mean, it just doesn't. And he said here, Psalmist verse 3, that if it hadn't been that God was on our side, then men would have swallowed us up and their wrath would have kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed against us. Stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us a prey into their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. So, yeah, devil, if it wasn't for God on my side, you'd take me out physically. Yes, devil, if it wasn't for God, you'd destroy my marriage. If it wasn't for God, you'd destroy me financially. I understand that. But it is because of God that you can't do any of those things in my life. Amen. Our God is an awesome God. He's a mighty God. He's a powerful God. And he's on your side. Well, when you live by faith in that, that gives you that optimistic life that whatever I'm approaching, whatever I'm coming up against, God's on my side. It's not tough. I will walk down. It doesn't matter. I will walk down the biggest, baddest street of any of the biggest towns of Detroit, Chicago, Los Angeles, New York City. I don't care where it is. I'll walk down any street in America among the biggest gangs and everybody around me. It doesn't matter. As long as Grandmaster Kim is with me, I'll walk down any of those streets. I just want to watch what happens. But I said that so you could understand that in that regard. But you know what? Same thing goes, except double, triple, quadruple, and more. If God is with me, there ain't nobody can hurt me. Amen? Absolutely nobody. And if God's on your side, there ain't nobody going to hurt you. Amen? Remember now, Jesus said, don't tempt the Lord your God. Don't walk up to the biggest, baddest guy in town and say, I just dare you to hit me, knock my teeth out. And we'll get you an appointment at the dentist the next day, you know? So you don't tempt God. But right on the other hand, we will fear no evil, for our God is with us. Amen? Amen. We live in faith that God is on our side. Everybody say, God's on my side. Oh, Lord, let me tell you this. The Bible says this. The Bible says it in the book of, well, let me get there. Bible's in the book of Isaiah, chapter 54, verse 17. I pray this just about every day. I will pray 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 3, 4, and 5. And I'll say, Lord God, I cast down every imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I cast it down. I cast every bit of that down. And I say, Lord God, you said in your word that anything that exalts itself knowledge of God is subject unto you. So anything I know anything about is subject to you. I thank you that you say in the scriptures that all of my weapons are powerful and mighty and will pull down every stronghold. I pray that before the Lord. Thank you, Father, that all my weapons are mighty and will pull down every stronghold. And then I'll say this. Lord, according to Isaiah 54 and verse 17, scripture says that there is no weapon that is formed against me that shall prosper. Everybody say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against me in judgment. Now, whose tongue do I know the most? The devil's tongue. When he says you're not going to make it, it's not going to happen, you're not going to be healed, you're not going to be blessed, money's not going to be there. When the devil says all those things, that's a tongue that's rose up against you in judgment. And the Bible tells us what to do. It doesn't say, look up in the high heaven, oh, God, help me. It doesn't say that. It says, oh, Lord, you're going to let this happen to me? It doesn't say that. Lord, you know I've been good to you this week. You know, it doesn't say that. What the scripture says is this, every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn. You condemn it. You are the one that condemns it. You do it in the power of God Almighty. And so when the devil rises up against, when the devil says to you, you know, you got something bad going on in your body. No, no, devil. I condemn that in the name of Jesus. There's nothing in my body but health. There's nothing in my body but a healthy lifestyle and a healthy living in the name of Jesus. I condemn the pain. I condemn the sickness and disease. In Jesus' name, it has no place in me. I condemn it in the name. Everybody say, I condemn it. You need to stand up and be a child of God in this thing. Stand up with the authority that God's given you. Otherwise, the devil's going to run right over you. I mean, you sit down and you look at things going tough for you financially, I condemn that in Jesus' name. That thing's subject to change in the name of the Lord, and it's going to change. And I condemn that thing in Jesus' name. In the name of, we live that way around this church. Years ago, we came in, we took up three offerings every week. We did. I got to the place that, you know, I said, hey, I'm reading the scripture, I'm teaching people how to give, and that's it. And we take one offering one time a week. And everything else we do, we give away. You see it. We don't sell nothing around this place. I'm not trying to be critical of people like that, but you ain't going to find me outside selling donuts. Lord, help me. I might eat a few, but Lord, help. I ain't going to be out there. Oh, God, help me. That's one of them things I'm still working on. Remember, it's from faith to faith. Pray for me. I'm headed that way, all right? But, Lord, it's not that I'm too good. I'll do anything for the Lord. And if faith ever stops working, I'll sell some donuts. But faith ain't never going to start working. Amen? Amen. I told Sheila the other week, I said, the reason I married you and the reason I stay married to you is because you're the most beautiful girl I've ever seen in my life. If I ever find anybody else better looking than you, I'm going to marry them. And she said, Leon, why'd you say that? I said, well, look, we've been married 40 years. Obviously, ain't nobody. It's still you. It's still you. She's still the one, and he's still the one. Amen? Stand up with me. Let's go before the Lord in Jesus' name.